Veterans Day is this Sunday, November 11th, and this marks the 100th anniversary of the armistice. As you might know, November 11th is not an accidental choice. It has to do with the date of the end of World War I. Back in 1990, a colleague of mine, Matthew Algio, and I had the idea that we should find World War I veterans and interview them before they were all gone. It took a while. This is the piece we put together, and it first aired in 1994.
No one who was not there could completely comprehend the horrors of World War I. For America, World War I was known as the Great War in Europe for the first 3 years of the conflict. The United States got involved late in the war. It was months before U.S. troops landed in Europe. Even then, so few troops arrived, they were assigned to French and British units.
Americans, they wanted to end that war. They didn't want to be over there forever. We just enlisted for the duration, you know.
George Thorwarth was among the U.S. soldiers who arrived early, landing in France in June of 1917. Thorwarth, just as thousands of other young men in 1917, enlisted, volunteered. He felt he had a duty.
Well, they told us we was fighting for democracy, in a war to end wars. That was what they tried to brainwash the people with, you know.
America had been reluctant to get involved in the war. It was considered just another war in the centuries of wars in Europe. Before radio was in use, the U.S. commander, General John Blackjack Pershing of Missouri, made a recording to be played at town halls and fraternal meetings across the country.
3,000 miles from home, an American army is fighting for you. Everything you hold worthwhile is at stake. Only the hardest blows can win against the enemy we are fighting.
Patriotism in the U.S. began to run high. Small towns and rural counties put units together. Groups of young men in crisp new uniforms gathered to have their photos taken in front of the county courthouse or as they were marching to the railroad depot. Veteran Ray Fuller says there was no whining or complaining.
We just knew we had to go, that we got orders to go and we went. Of course, you were scared inside, undoubtedly, but that didn't faze you. You just went.
In fact, while a military draft was called, much of the U.S. force volunteered. Working on his family's farm, William Halsey was 20 years old when the United States entered the war in 1917.
As soon as the harvest was done in the fall, I went over to Minot, North Dakota, and enlisted.
Over there, over there, send the word over there. There's the Yanks are coming, the Yanks are coming.
Once over there, U.S. troops found the anticipated glory of battle was mired in trench warfare. Again, William Halsey.
The weather was so bad, you had no place to sleep on some newspapers if you could find some, or anything you could find to lay down on the ground. Tents you didn't have. Get a hole dug in the ground sometime, then it'd fill up with water.
Supplies were short. Relief was seldom. George Thorwarth was first attached to the French Army, then the British, and when the U.S. had shipped over enough troops, he finally was assigned to an American unit. In each army, the soldiers faced conditions unimaginable.
We had our clothes pinned together, and just a pair of pants on and a little shirt, you know. I think we held the lines without a relief longer than any outfit over there. Of course, they'd ship us from one place to the other, wherever there's a hot sector. On Dead Man's Hill there's about 260,000 got killed in one day on that one hill. It's 2 weeks afterwards before we tried to get out there burying them. You go out on patrol at night and you stick your arm into the dead bodies and stuff. It was terrible up there at that time.
In a war that saw at least 10 million people killed, death was a constant. Ray Fuller lost his brother in World War I and was injured himself. Although he spent a good deal of his time on a patrol a few miles behind the front, it still was not safe.
A shell came up. Company C was right behind us. They were from Wisconsin, a group. A shell hit right in the middle of the road there. The guys were laying in the road and all around there like that. I forget how many there was. There was quite a few killed, wounded. Boy, it was a mess for a while. Yeah.
The battlefield and weapons were new to the world. George Thorwarth says chemical warfare, gas attacks, proved to be horribly effective.
I think the most vivid one I can remember is the time I had patrol out, and we had 260 men in the company, and there was only two squads left after the gas attack was in for 48 hours. and our gas masks weren't good for only about 24.
Thorwarth says the battlefield was a mix of new technology and ancient warfare.
We used to get behind those big tanks. They're about half as big as this room here, you know. And we'd get maybe 15, 20 people behind that tank, and they were very slow. Go about as fast as you walk, that's about as fast as they go. And all our artillery stuff was drawn to horses at that time. When a horse gets killed, we'd have slum to eat.
On the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, the armistice went into effect. Ray Fuller had been on the front 22 days straight when the fighting stopped.
Naturally, you just celebrated. Wherever you could find a bottle of wine, they found it. Or anything else, we celebrated that night. You betcha.
But wine and women play the mischief with a boy whose look is changed. How you gonna keep him down on the farm after he's seen?
William Halsey and Ray Fuller became part of the occupying force. And although George Thorwarth was in the trenches longer and fought more often than most Americans, because he was of German descent, he did not get to celebrate in Paris and take part in the victorious army. He was shipped home. Author Keith Robbins writes, "Huge numbers of crosses peopled the silent landscape. From all over the world in years to come, relatives and friends trooped through these uncommunicative cities of the dead. The cemeteries of Europe housed them, for in the end there was little to be said for trying to bring the fallen home." One mother concluded, "It is just as near from France to heaven as from Indiana." This is Lester Graham.
I saw gold star mothers, sisters and brothers, what a sacrifice they made. I saw one-legged pal coming home soon.